B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Across the Gunners and the shot, he scores! The Blues win it in overtime and have evened the series. Gunnarsson, who has staked his team to an even spot in the series, going back home to St. Louis.
There's your final call on NBC. We continue with your thoughts. You've been waiting patiently. Brian in Holbrook, what do you got, Brian?
Hi, guys. So sometimes, and we saw last night, the power play just looked ugly with that first unit. And it seems like they can't keep the puck in the attacking zone. I think McAvoy should be out there. I love Krug, but I think McAvoy's defensive presence is going to bring some more security there, maybe some more sustained pressure in St. Louis's end with that first unit. It feels like a lot of the power play goals we're getting are at the end. Last night wasn't with the first unit. Just want to know your guys' thoughts about that.
Yeah, for again, the power play is 2 for 10, which I really consider 2 for 9, because the fifth power play last night was just a little nub. Just a little nub of one after a 4-on-4. So 2 for 9, that's a decent percentage. It's fine. I've hated the power play. Hated it. It just hasn't been nearly enough sustained pressure. I mean, they've got 2 goals on it, but how many scoring chances have they gotten on it?
Not many.
Like 4?
I mean again, last night, 5 power plays, they had 3 shots.
That's brutal.
Yeah, and they scored on one of them. But I would also tell you that the Blues had 3 shots shorthanded. So that I look at that and I say the Blues will take that every time.
It's just approach. Way, way, way too cute. And it starts with Marchand and Pastrnak. It's those two guys are the primary culprits. Way, way, way too cute. Mike in Florida, what are your thoughts?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. I think, and this maybe this is a hot take, maybe it isn't, but I think the Bees are going to miss Grizzlick more than they would miss Chara. And if those two people were switched, I don't know that I'd have that big of a problem with it. To add on to that, I think that breakaway goal, the 2-on-1 that they got the goal on, that Chara eventually didn't get his stick on the puck, that was his fault, but not for the same reason. I think he should have pinched, and I think the reason Marchand skated all the way across the ice is because he knew Chara is too freaking slow to keep that puck in the zone, and they needed it in the zone.
So I don't agree with that take. I don't. I think people just want to blame Chara.
Because he's slow.
Because he's just so obviously slow. He just sticks out so badly, and it's such an obvious thing to say, look at the big slow guy. And I just don't think you watch the whole play develop. Once again, Marchand is at the point because McAvoy pinches, which is fine in and of itself if Marchand's going to play out there responsibly. He did not. He did not. He pinched across the ice and then let Tarasenko beat him by about 4 strides clean down the ice to the point where Tarasenko got 2 whacks at it. 2. And Chara saved the first one. Not Rask. Chara did. So I will once again reiterate. Not only is Chara not to blame for that, he almost bailed you out of that. He's the one chance you had on that play. That's on Marchand. And I'll say again, Pastrnak, who sent the puck back to the point in the first place that started the rush going the other way, with another limp-ass, soft, little cutesy pass that did not have enough force on it.
I mean, with him, it's like he's playing pond hockey. What does he think this is? And the caller said that Marchand went over there to protect Chara, right? Chara's not fast enough to keep up with Tarasenko. Okay, fine. Let's say he did that. Then why didn't he stay with him?
Right.
Why did he just fall off the play at the end? There's no excuse for Marchand on that play. He gave up on it. He got lazy. He quit on the play.
The first thing that he said about missing Grizzlick, I'd rather have Chara in the lineup than Grizzlick. But you're going to miss Grizzlick. You're going to miss him. He's skill. You've got a skill advantage over St. Louis, and he's part of it. And now he's out. And we'll see for how long. I'm not convinced he's totally gone. Let's see what happens after the league makes its ruling. You'd be surprised how many guys suddenly feel better the next day. Once the suspension then is then, because if the guy's out indefinitely, the league looks at that differently, whether then he's day-to-day or he'll be back the next game. So you always overplay the injury to maximize the suspension. Once they come out with the number, and he's meeting with them right now, let's see where Grizzlick is after that. That's when you'll tell just how bad it is. Mike in Hopedale. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys, I agree 100% that the Blues handed it to the Bruins last night. But if Marchand didn't screw that play up, we would have been 2-0 right now. And the other thing is, Bergeron and Marchand, they got to get their stuff together. They got to stop playing like 7-footers again. and we took their best shot, and we would have won the game. Thanks, well, guys.
So at that point, I think you could have won the series last night. If you had won last night, despite getting outplayed for, what, three quarters of the game, whatever it is, if you would have won and getting outshot, was it 37? I don't have the numbers in front of me. You got, you know, you got outshot, out-hit, out-everything. And if you had somehow snuck out a win in overtime or late in the third, then you have St. Louis talking to themselves. Now you have a couple losses where St. Louis says to itself, well, now what do we have to do? We had them 2-0 in the first game and lost. And then the second game, we kicked their ass up and down the ice and still lost them. We're 0-2. Then you get St. Louis talking to themselves. Then you get St. Louis thinking maybe in the back of their head, this is a self-fulfilling prophecy. It ain't happening against this team. That would have been a huge win for the Bruins. Not that they deserved it.
Oh, it would have been a theft.
It would have,
like, yeah. You read about.
But
oh, my God.
But it would have been a mind bleep for the Blues.
Absolutely. Down 2-1 in that game, and the way they ended up winning it, like, okay, if they were to lose it in overtime, you would have felt like you were completely robbed. They completely outplayed the Bruins in that game last night. That's what I was hoping for. Everyone in the building was.
Which is part of the reason I think you got the overtime you got. Because I think in the intermission, the Blues said, we are not going to let them win this game. Not with the, you know, not after the way we've played. We've been the better team. We're not going to go out. And the Bruins, did they even get past center ice in the overtime?
No, that's what I said earlier. I don't remember any time past the red line. I don't. Chris in the truck. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just real two quick points on the Bruins game last night. We need to take the first line and play the Bruins' second goal from the fourth line on a loop for these cute little guys. Me screaming shoot at my TV is approaching a Sergei Samsonov level. And the last point, previous caller mentioned that the Bruins reminding them of the Bruins. They were just a D-to-D pass from behind the net away from pulling a full Julian last night. They definitely remind me of some previous Bruins iterations. But there were some teams that absolutely eviscerated those Julian teams. And, yeah, I mean, the series is going to go 6 or 7, but the Bruins still squeak it out, but the talent will rise to the top. It's going to stop it.
Okay, this one of these calls that you just gave me too much. I have no idea where to even begin with that. He said like 5 different things. You want to pick apart any one of them?
No, look, I mean, again, he had me scattered too. So I would just tell you that that game last night was about the Blues and their response, and they gave it to you. Okay, so I don't really look at the Bruins all that differently as a team than I did before the game. I thought you were going to get an absolute punch in the face from the Blues last night, and you get about 10 of them.
But to pick up on, I think what the caller's driving at, the Blues are antiquated. It's an antiquated approach and an antiquated team.
Let's find out.
And I think the Bruins way is the way to win now. And it's not that the Bruins are full skill and speed. They're a little bit of a blend. But the Blues are a Julian team, which I don't think plays anymore in the league.
So I mean, I would say that the modern way to play is the way the Bruins are trying to play it. I just don't know that means you can't win doing what the Blues did last night.
Mike in Salem, your thoughts.
Hey, guys. First-time caller. And first-time listener. But I was listening to what Felger said about, you know, selling the calls, you know, running Rask. But that hit on Grizzlick, to me, it was a legitimate hit. I mean, it happened in the eighth of a second.
Oh, no.
Players are trained.
So, Mike, he didn't sell.
Right?
Grizzlick didn't sell.
To, like, take the guy.
That wasn't on my list. I'm just stopping you because I didn't. Grizzlick didn't sell it. Rask sold at least one of those goalie interferences. DeBrusque sold a trip over the back of the guy's skate. So yes, and I think they sold some in the first game. Grizzlick did not sell anything, so I've never
right.
said.
No,
that.
I'm not saying Grizzlick sold stuff, but I've been watching the entire series. It's almost like they become the Brazil Bruins. I'm waiting for Neymar to join the team.
No, Grizzlick, he put himself in a little bit of a vulnerable position. So this is why, and we'll pick this up on the other side. I don't think that Sundqvist is. I would not give him a big suspension, one game at most. He's meeting with the league right now. If he got nothing, I would not be offended one bit. I think Grizzlick put himself in a vulnerable position. I don't think Sundqvist targeted the head. He hit the head, but he didn't target it. I don't think he left his skates. I don't think he launched. And I think that was a borderline hit, meaning it could be clean-ish. It's dirty-ish. It's right there in the middle. He should get somewhere between 0 and 1 games if you could do it. You know, if they'd given him a 5, I would have been okay, and no suspension, something like that. So if he gets a game, okay, no more than that, because part of that was on Grizzlick. I agree with the old school guys. That part was on Grizzlick. Steve in the car. Go ahead, Steve.
Hello. Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Hey, that crowd yesterday and the way that the Garden's run, I think that took a lot away from our team. You were just talking about Nordy taking those two shots. Right after that, they went on and played some music instead of showing the hits and getting the crowd fired up, which I think would go a long way to get the team going.
Okay, so how'd you feel about the crowd last night, Murray? We were both in the building.
I thought it was iffy, to be quite honest with you. But I think that was overall nervousness from the second period on, which is understandable.
Maybe it was reflective of the team sucking?
Yeah.
And I think that when Nordstrom took those shots in that moment, the building got up.
Oh, yeah, no, they absolutely did. People are paying attention. It's one of the reasons I think that Bruins fans might be the best of, like, the big four. They're paying attention, and they know what the hell's going on. And I know it's maybe a lesser crowd right now because the tickets are so expensive, and you get more wine and cheese folks in the building. But people are paying attention. They saw that. They got up for it. I think overall, though, people were a little tight, just like the team was.
The topic bores me. I just got to be honest. Is it a quiet crowd? Yep, I guess it is. I guess it is. It's made worse by super expensive tickets. Yep, you want to bitch about that for 4 hours? We could. Yep, we could do this with the Patriots too. Crowds quiet, they make you sit down. Boy, you could do 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. Security guards asking you to sit down at Gillette Stadium, right? You want to open up that can of worms?
Least of my concerns.
Talk about this for a week?
Only care about the team.
Yeah, Felgen, my season tickets went up 3%.
Oh my God. I just do it on the podcast. Do it some other time. We care about who wins and who loses, and then who screwed up and why. That's what we care about.
Okay, you want to know the real reason the crowd was quiet last night? Because the Bruins get the bag beat out of them.
So,
that's why.
And so there's another thing. I mean, maybe I've done this before, but maybe that's when you know you're in Palookaville, Yahooville, that the team could suck and be getting their ass handed to them, and people are still like, wee, yeah, woohoo, yahoo, woo-hoo, woo-hoo, the bells and whistles, woo, yeah, woohoo, and you're getting your ass kicked.
Well, if anything, that's the stuff that annoys me. Late in the game, people still dancing for the Jumbotron. Like, be nervous, you idiots. What are you doing?
Yes, you're crapping your pants there if you care, so you're not making a sound. I don't know, whatever. But it's just a topic for another day. They have a chance to win a cup. I'm going to talk about the crowd clapping or not, or what they put on the board. Who gives two poops?
Yeah, I was mad, Felga. I didn't get a T-shirt that they shoot out of those guns. I wanted a T-shirt.
Again, league reaction to the Sundquist hit right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5
The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Steen, he'll shovel it in. Grizzlick took a hit, lost the puck. It squeezes out in front, and Grizzlick is down. And I think we're going to have another penalty as Clifton gets into the fray.
Yeah, but you got a power play coming up.
Grizzlick is down on his knees.
He reached right for his head. He got him in the back of the head, driving the head in, and I think that's what it was. It wasn't a hit from behind, per se, but it's the right arm that hits the head of Grizzlick and then drives it into the glass. Because Grizzlick turns. He took a look over his shoulder. He knows this hit's coming, so he kind of stopped, and his numbers are facing Sundquist, but Sundquist gets up high, and with the right arm, he drives Grizzlick's head into the glass. That's why this is called, and Grizzlick reached right for his head.
I don't think that's a hit we want in our game. I think it's from behind, elevated into his head, into the glass. If that's a two-minute penalty, there's going to be a shortage of defensemen, I think, in the series by the end of it. But that's in somebody else's hands. That's something that I think if I'm making that hit, I'm probably watching from the bleachers for a few. But we'll see what happens with their player.
That's David Backus lobbying for a suspension for Oscar Sundquist. He's meeting with the league right now as we speak. As soon as they come out with the ruling, we'll let you know. I don't think it should be much. I don't think it should be much. If it's zero, I don't think that's outrageous. It's a questionable, meaning it might be fine. Might be just over the line, might be just on this side of the line. Could go either way. Really close. I think that I don't think he targeted the head. He hit the head. I don't think he targeted it. I don't think he elevated. One thing I do think is he made no attempt to slow down. And that's if anything gets him, it should be that. That while Grizzlick may have put himself in a vulnerable position, so did Sundquist. So did Sundquist by the speed with which he was going in there. With, you know, when you see the numbers, you're supposed to let up or at least be in a position to let up, and he wasn't. He was full steam, man.
I mean, that's two games in a row where he's done something stupid, right? The hit on Clifton that got him the penalty that led to the McAvoy goal, and then last night. That's two games in a row for Sundquist.
So outside of what you think he's going to get or should get, there's the trade-off, which I think advantage Blues, meaning I don't think they're going to miss Oscar Sundquist. I think you are going to miss Grzelcyk. I'd rather have Grzelcyk than Sundquist, I'll tell you that. And so I think that's a loss for the Bruins. I don't think Sundquist is much of a loss for the Blues, especially if it's only a game. So we'll see how that all plays out. A lot of people in the league thought it should have been no suspension. I'll give you one reasonable kind of opinion, one not so reasonable opinion. Let's start with the not reasonable, shall we? Grapes, knuckle-dragging Don Cherry had this opinion. He's going to talk about, when he says he wasn't trying to hurt him, he's talking about Sundquist, I think. But go ahead, roll it, Jim.
Kids, you never, ever go in the corners like this. He didn't mean to hit him. He was just finishing his check. This is a penalty here. Look how he goes in head first. He's just asking for it. I mean, I don't blame the guy. He just finished his check. He didn't mean to hit him in the head. You never go in the corner like that. You never, ever do it like that. You're just asking for it. And this is the old deal with the helmet on. Remember, Nick and I were talking. You'd have your head on a swivel. You'd never go in like that. Anyhow, that's a one shot.
You know, and it's not the only. I'm with you, Don. Two is okay by me. The other hit was Carlo got it early in the period. Sammy Blay lined him up and kind of got him in the numbers as well. But it's a bang bang play, and they're clearly.
Well, they're banging. This is a playoff. Just a goal like this. They're trying to get back from last year, right, or last game. And I see how he's got his head turned. Never do that, kids.
And
you're
too far
just
out.
Asking for it. All right, let's go.
Okay, so classic victim blaming. Cherry saying Grzelcyk asked for it. Little much.
I mean, I love, too, how he makes it about, like, it's some sort of educational thing for kids on top of it. Like, look, he left himself vulnerable, but nobody's asking to have their head slammed into the boards.
Of course.
That's idiotic. That is, and I like Cherry, too. He's entertaining. But still, that's dumb.
Yeah, I mostly find him like an entertaining old grandpa, but that's the kind of stuff. It's like, you're an idiot.
Old school to a fault. And, you know, he said the old deal with the helmet, saying, you know, if we would have never done it like that. And what he's basically saying is that
my day.
Well, the wearing the helmets has made it more dangerous because now guys put themselves in positions they never used to. If you weren't wearing a helmet, you never would turn your back to a forechecker like that in that fashion and leave yourself vulnerable. And so it's sort of like those who think that if you take away the face mask in football, tackling will become strangely safer, which maybe there's a case for it. And even there's a case for the helmet. I'm just telling you, that's old school to a fault, to the point where his knuckles are dragging on the ground. Brian Lawton, NHL Network, is not nearly as old school as that. A little more reasonable, but he also felt no suspension. Go ahead.
Look where his body is at his feet are. Now, what happened there is he was caught a little bit in between trying to reach back and shovel that puck right there. And he basically rams himself into the boards. And then Oscar Sundquist comes in and finishes him off. He is in a vulnerable position. That's why it's a 2-minute penalty. But it's not a suspendable event or anything like that. It's a horrible or unfortunate outcome.
You can just stop it there, Jimmy. So penalty, not a suspension, says Brian Lawton. Also blames Grzelcyk, saying he rams himself into the boards. Again, that's a little bit strong for what Grzelcyk did. But Grzelcyk did lose his footing along the boards and sort of put himself in that spot.
I mean, that was a significant part of the play. Again, it's like he's slipping, right? He's sort of sliding down, and his feet are going one way and his upper body's going the other.
So here's what I think overall. I think overall in the two games, you've gotten the vast benefit of the officiating. Vast, clear majority of the calls. Not all of them. You've had some bad ones against you. But I think there have been way more. You've benefited way more from the officials than St. Louis has. If you just want to start with the power plays, it's 10-4?
I think that's right. Well, last night was what, 4-2?
It was 5-2 last night.
Again?
Yeah, 5-2. So it depends how you treat the 4 minutes, I guess. Does that count as two or one? But you went on 5 power plays last night. They went on 2, just like game one. So it's 10-4 if you want to go it by that. So never mind that. Also, last night on your first goal, they missed a too many men on the ice penalty. Way behind the play.
Correct.
But it was obvious. It was clear. There were 6 skaters out there skating. Not headed to the bench or coming from the bench, skating. They were out there, and they missed it. And I wonder if St. Louis had lost that game and that goal really turned out to be a factor, if we would have been, you know, another thing to add to the replay list. You want to go back and review too many men on the ice on goals?
No.
Because that's going to come.
Yeah, and if that happens, though, you know how many goals you get called back?
This is what I'm telling you.
No, I don't want anything to do with
that.
This
is the slippery slope of replay. I guarantee you it's going to come. If we're going to review whether it goes over the glass, we're going to review whether it's a hand pass, there's going to be a big goal just like that where there's six men on the ice. We're showing it on the simulcast right now. Six skaters, clear as day, and they miss it. And if that goal cost someone a Stanley Cup final game, there's going to be a hue and cry in the offseason. They're going to add this to the list. Get ready for review of too many men on goals. It's going to come. But so you got the benefit of that. You got a late slashing power play in which it looked in the building clear as day that he chomped down and snapped his stick. Turns out it was sort of more on the follow through and he kind of missed the stick. So you got that benefit. So I think the officiating has been pretty solidly in your favor. And you're still only 1-1. I think it's going to turn.
I don't think there's a gripe there. And again, and as it relates
not
to...
Not only is it not a gripe, you should be thankful. You should recognize that you've gotten the balance of the calls so far.
I mean, the Bruins have had a lot of power plays and haven't done much with them. You know, now I know they got the couple of goals, but it feels like they should have more. And if you're going to be that reliant on special teams, then you better put more than just, you know, 2 out of 10 in the net. That's one. But as it relates to the Grizzly kit, the only thing I don't know that we haven't brought up is whether, I don't know if Sundqvist has any history, right? So Grizzlick's going to miss time. That's going to work against Sundqvist. I'd be shocked if given the hearing and everything else, that he doesn't get a game. Again, to me last night, it was very gray looking at it. I said, I don't know, that could go either way. But once they announced the hearing, I said, well, he's going to get something.
Okay, so there's that. We'll get to your Bruins calls in a second. We do just want to take one quick more Bruins breather. We'll check in on Maz's baseball team, the Boston Red Sox.
Who?
Who've got quite a series coming up and had another rough night last night. So,
oh, the Reds.
Yeah, just a quick second on them. We'll do it after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Ground ball to third. Ramirez will go to the bag for the force play, and that will end it. So the Indians walk out with a series victory, very surprisingly, 14-9, the final score here in the finale.
All right, here's your Red Sox Minute, starring Tony Maserati. Anthony?
Okay, so again, with me, with the Red Sox, it's all about the big picture. And go back a couple of weeks. I think I said to you that they were getting ready to play the Astros here at Fenway Park. It was a critical stretch of games against good teams. You're talking about two series with Houston, Cleveland, the Yankees, Tampa Bay, even Minnesota at the end of it. Minnesota's a factor now. They lead the Central Division. And the Indians, who you just played, you are fighting with, in theory, for a wild card spot. 2 weeks ago, when this started, the Red Sox were 4 games out of first place in the division. The number's now 7.5. So, like, you tell me. I mean, again, I look at it and say, so far, fail. The deficit has doubled, almost. So now you go into New York for 4 games. And I'm not telling you they're done. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you're at a pivotal stretch of the season. Even Cora is putting some emphasis on these games. At the series in Houston over the weekend, he said, you know, last year we came in here and I felt like that was a pivotal point of our season. We lost the first two, we won the last two, we get out of here, and I think we believed all of a sudden we could really compete with the big teams. Well, they went into Houston, they lost 2 out of 3. They just lost 2 out of 3 to the Indians. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Astros twice. They had to struggle to split with Toronto. Like, they're 7-8 now in their last 15 games, so here you go. You're starting to slip again a little bit. So at what point do you look up and say, uh-oh, now we're in trouble? I think they're in trouble now. Now.
Trouble how? Trouble meaning what?
The gap's getting bigger. The division's going to be out of play soon.
Trouble for the division.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. 7.5.
I mean, that's a big number.
It's getting there.
And I would say also, given the way the first couple of weeks of this thing have gone, tonight's a big one. You've got Sale on the mound in New York. The Yankees are still undermanned. Like, you know, with everything. And last night, honestly, they took a bullet a little bit because Cora left Weber in the game to just take his medicine because somebody somewhere has got to take bullets on this pitching staff. That's just the reality of it. So you sacrifice the game in the process. Fine. You better win the next night, though. When you do that, if the whole idea is, let me let everyone catch our breath. Let's recharge the staff. Let's get everyone sort of set up for the Yankee series. Fine. Well, now you've got your ace going in the opener in New York. You've got some rested relievers in your bullpen, at least a little bit. You better go out and win the game. So I really am starting to worry about them. And I don't think they're dead. I don't think it's over. I don't think any of that. But the division could be over by June 15th, for crying out loud.
And welcome to that wonderful, delicious, dramatic one-game wild card play-in.
Yeah, how would you like that after winning 108 games in the World Series?
One of the best games in sports. One of the best ideas a sport league has come up with in years. A one-game single-elimination playoff. You've never had to play it. It's a lot of fun. Make you want to puke your guts out after playing a 162-game schedule to make the playoffs and then get one chance to advance. One.
With this team and this payroll. And so, again, like I'll tell you the one thing I don't want to hear is when people say, well, they won the World Series last year. So do the season ticket holders all get their money refunded this year then? You don't have to pay for your tickets or, you know, any of that? Or when you go to the ballpark, it's discounted because they have a title and it's throwaway games now? Like, that one drives me crazier than anything. Like, the idea that just because you won, you can now take the next year off. I hate that.
Okay, there you go. There's your Red Sox Minute. Back to your thoughts so you can weigh in on that or anything else that you like. Steve in Dorchester, what do you got for us on the Bruins?
How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I got about 3 points, really. One, I think the morning show was saying how the really neither side can ratchet up the physicality. But looking at last night's game, I think the Bees certainly can ratchet up their defensive physicality in their end. And I think it starts at Z. I do. I think we have to make some type of stance. Secondly, I think Rask played a phenomenal game. I think he knocked the rust off from game one. And then I like a recent caller on my third point and final point. I was screaming shoot like I was watching Bantam hockey with that first line. They're just getting too cute. They need to shoot.
Oh my God, so cute. Pond hockey, little game of shimmy out there. Shinny, what is it? Just brutal, brutal. Dipsy-doo out there with that first line. The first point I don't get, what do you mean you can't be more physical? I don't understand what that means.
Me neither. They
St. Louis got more physical game one to game two. Why can't you get more physical game two to game three?
They totally can.
Rask. Thoughts on Rask?
So overall, good. To borderline, very good. I don't know that he's quite at the level that he was at in the Carolina series and at the end of the Columbus series because his play in those two was just so otherworldly. He's not there yet. But I don't blame him really for any of the goals.
Weird goals. I don't know.
That first one I still don't love, and I know it ricocheted off Grizzlick, and he was, so I heard Fred talking about it this morning, too, so I wanted to go back and specifically watch it. He was pissed at Grizzlick.
He basically pointed at him.
Yeah. But still, I don't love it. I don't know.
Well, look, where'd the pucks go in?
High.
No, what I mean is,
oh,
where were they shot?
High. Like, in that little?
I'm sorry, this is my problem, not yours, but this is not what I'm looking for. One was from the half wall.
Yeah.
The other was from 60 feet away at the point at the blue line. The puck should not be going in from there. They just shouldn't be going in from there. Now, the first one was redirected, but because all these guys now are on their knees, that leaves a little mail slot over the shoulder, and that's where the puck went in. Deflected, nothing you could do with it once that he's on his knees. But it's just sort of frustrating. If you just stand up on your skates and hook your arm around the post and just stand there, it has no chance of going in at that angle, none. By playing on your knees, you give them, and believe me, it's a little slot. It's a little sliver of a spot, but it's there. If you just stand up, there's nowhere, the puck has no chance to go in, whether it's deflected 18 times or none. And so, deflected or not, the puck should not be going in from there. And the point shot, he obviously didn't see it. But again, that was not tipped, partially screened, 60 feet. I'm not blaming Rask. I'm just saying
it's not great.
I just don't like.
And you and I were.
I tell you what. I don't blame him for any of them. I don't.
Well, neither do I.
You and I had a good angle on that first one. And granted, once you see that ricochets off Grizzly, you kind of like, okay, I get it. But in real time, I was like, oh god, ooh, like that just felt.
If you just stand up, it has nowhere to go. It's not going in, no matter whether it's deflected or not. But that's not a Rask problem. That's a modern goalie problem.
I was going to say, that's just, but he plays that way.
They're all down there. And most of them do. 95% of them are on their knees in the same spot. They are. I think Binnington has sprung more leaks.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, like holes. I mean, so if you want to say that, I feel like Binnington's more vulnerable than Rask is. Even though I didn't love the location of those goals, the shot location of those goals last night. Binnington, I feel like there are sort of holes there.
Oh, definitely. I mean, again, my opinion of him has not changed since the start of the series. I thought his D was really the key to his success, and I still do. Those two goals he gave up last night, I mean, I know they're five-hole goals, but I say that as if the five-hole exists. It's not like it's not there. But I don't know. I don't know that either puck was particularly well struck.
Back to your phones and the number one problem on the team. It's not Rask. He's not even on the list. The number one problem on the team, your number one line right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
Hey, it's Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Out comes Tarasenko, left wing feed, Schwartz, 2-on-1, shoots Rask, the save, rebound, and Tarasenko, goalie score. Tarasenko stayed with it. The odd man chance generates the equalizer. Bruins 2, Blues 2.
So McAvoy pinches down low. Marchand covers up for him. Now when this puck gets moved up the right wing, Marchand's over on the right defense side. He goes all the way across to take that puck carrier. That's Tarasenko, but it's going to leave a wide open left wing side. Char's able to come across and get a piece there of Schwartz. As he gets the initial shot, Tarasenko's going to be able to get to the net for the rebound. And after Chara stopped the second one, it's Tarasenko staying on it on the third one. Chara's got distance to travel to get over there, but then Tarasenko beats Marchand up the ice after he made that initial pass.
I think you got to put this one on Marchand. You'll see Marchand attack Tarasenko right here, loses him. Tarasenko slides back into the front of the net. There's Marchand on the backside. Doesn't back check to the front of the net. You'll see it here better. Look at Tarasenko just skate away from Brad Marchand right there. Not good enough. If you declare that you're going to go across the ice to take Tarasenko like he did, Chara sneaks into the middle of the ice to take away Schwartz. It's your job to take the guy. Even if it isn't center ice, you need to get him all the way back to the front of the net. Mike, he needs to cut him off, get his body in front of Tarasenko's, and then he'd be the first guy back into the zone. You can't put that on Chara. Yes, he is slower. He's not the fastest skater. But he did get there to cut down the angle on Jaden Schwartz. Schwartz still had to take a shot from the outside, but way too much time for Tarasenko on that rebound to get the puck. Marchand just not good enough defensively.
So issues with your first line. Biggest problem on the team, your first line. And it's not that your first line isn't carrying you. Because I think if the first line has to carry you, then you have an unhealthy team, and that ain't going to work either. So the story is, the deal is, that they can't hurt you. They at least have to be neutral and neutralize the other team's best line and make that a wash. And then if you want to win on depth, win on depth. Because I think you have the depth over St. Louis in the forward group. I think you have more. I think you've got a deeper team across the board. So if the first lines are just a wash, then you can win that way too. The problem is your first line's getting their ass handed to them. The Blues have 4 even strength goals this series, and the Bergeron line's been on the ice for 3 of them. They're a collective minus seven. They have not scored 5-on-5. Their only point is the Marchand empty netter. Only 5-on-5 point. Or non-power play point. Is that right there? So they're getting their ass kicked is the problem. And that play exemplifies it. And again, just because you're not scoring, that happens. Like, that's almost forgivable, though not the way they're doing it with all that stupid overpassing. But scoring goes hot and cold. Like, we should be able to accept that. It's the asinine defensive plays and the lapses coming back down the other way that are inexcusable. And that play exemplifies it. Everyone jumped on Chara on that Tarasenko goal. When Chara actually was the least of your problems there, he almost saved the goal. And for all the fans, I said, look at Chara, look at Chara. The broadcasters all got it right. Surratt said it. Chara saved the first rebound attempt from Tarasenko. Marchand was so late getting back and gave Tarasenko so much room that Tarasenko got two kicks at the can. He got two whacks at it. Chara saved the first. Never even got to Rask. And then because Marchand gave him so much room, Tarasenko had another crack at it and scored. Not on Chara. That's on Marchand. And that Maz, you can't give him any break for. That's not about going hot and cold. That's just being lazy and stupid.
Right. Yeah. And then those are the two words you use.
Marchand was watching on that play.
Brutal. Again, you know, he and I'm going by what the hockey analyst said and what struck me about this play. Okay, because look, I'm not astute enough to know who's supposed to pick up who and where. But listening to it, Eddie Olczyk during the game, Tony Amonte with you, Bob Beers between periods. It's not like these guys conspired. Okay, they didn't conspire. They were all offering their own take. They all said the same thing, which is that on that play, Marchand picks that side. He goes to Tarasenko, which they questioned at the beginning anyway. But nonetheless, if he picks that side, well, then Chara plays off of Marchand. Chara's watching going, okay, my forward's going that way, so I got to lean this way to make sure we have the whole thing covered. Except you know what the problem was? Marchand gave up. He stopped. He didn't follow Tarasenko till the end of the play. So what happened is it's Chara's left there playing two guys. That's on Marchand. That's Marchand's mistake.
If you want to roll back further, the whole play started with a weak-ass pass along the rim by Pastrnak. So once again, this wasn't a power play, but it's like one of these situations where it's Pastrnak and Marchand playing out by the blue line. They're the last line of defense, and they get sloppy or lazy, and it's a big rush the other way. That's what happened on this play. And Beers in the intermission, let's hear it. He called him out. These guys are hurting the team, hurting them right now.
The Bergeron line, and it's the wingers, Judd. They're hurting the Bruins right now a little bit. And I hate to say it because they've done so much good. I mean, you could just tell by the body language of Brad Marchand going to the bench. I mean, he is as frustrated as I've seen him in a long, long time. He makes a decision to go at Tarasenko. Okay, probably not the right decision, but he goes at him. And he goes at him early enough so that Chara has time to adjust. Okay, so that's done. Tarasenko moves the puck over to the far wing, the left wing, to Jaden Schwartz. Chara can get over to cut him off and force the shot. Shot is taken. Well, Marchand was right next to Tarasenko after he went over to him. But it's Tarasenko who gets there and scores the goal. So once you make the commitment to go to that guy and he moves the puck, you can't turn away. You know, you just got to stay with him all the way to the net. And then on the power play.
So you can just stop right there.
2-on-1.
So Beers is on it, like you said. All the hockey guys saw that play and said, that's not Chara. That's not Chara. That's Marchand. Amonte had more for the first line. In our NBC Sports Boston postgame. As soon as these games are over, flip on over to NBC Sports Boston, myself and Tony Amonte. Amonte not afraid to call him out and call it like it is. What's happening to that first line, Amonte?
They're getting outplayed. The Braden Schenn line is outplaying the Bergeron line right now, something that you never would have thought of happen. This is a little reminiscent of the first round against Toronto. Pastrnak can't get his legs under him. Bergeron struggling inside the circle and defensively, and Marchand just, you see it right there, behind the back to no one. They just need to be better. They need to be better, and I'm sure that Coach Cassidy is going to be speaking with them one-on-one, as he did throughout the first round and the second round, just trying to get this line going. I always say it just starts in the D zone. Just play good defensively, and the offensive zone will take care of itself.
And that's it right there. If they were just even against the Schenn line versus minus three, you know, or minus seven, however you want to look at it, they've been on the ice for three of the four Blues goals against. If they were just even, you're 2-0 in the series. Because everyone else is chipping in. The Bruins are getting contributions up and down the lineup, just not at the top of it. And when I say contributions, they could even be a zero as far as I'm concerned. You just can't be minuses.
Just play even.
Specifically, Marchand stands out. He sucked last night. And Pastrnak, is he cut out for this kind of series? Is David Pastrnak cut out for this kind of series? Amonte had a thought on 88.
David Pastrnak was just so quiet for my liking tonight. You just didn't see him engage on the boards. You're playing a tough team. You're going to get hit. You're going to have to take a hit to make a play. And if you don't, you're never going to make a play. It's just the way it is in this series. You need to go out there. You need to be aggressive. You need to hold on to the puck, and you're going to get banged. You see the Coil line doing it night in and night out. They're taking hits to make plays. The Corrali line, they go out there with reckless abandon. They're doing what they need to do to get the job done.
Okay, so true. You're going to have to take hits in this series. Period, story over.
I mean, I don't think there's any way around that. Again, and this is what the Blues bank on. You take the hits, we'll give them by the end of it. You're not going to be able to stand up anymore. That's what they bank on. And so the thing with the Bruins is they're going to have to do it, and they're going to have to score when they do it.
Okay, there's your reset, I promise. Write your calls after Murray's quick update. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.